During the last week of our Lord and Savior's life, Jesus wasted no time doing his Father's business. Yes, Jesus was busy dealing with a number of critical issues as the religious leaders, chief priests, scribes, and elders, for example, asked Jesus questions concerning matters of controversy. So let's begin a study of these questions of controversy. And we'll begin our study from Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we remember the initials PFE, hopefully that will help us to stay focused on doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, of course, we're coming together in our Bible classes to study the precious Word of God. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. That would be having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern that God has given us. Now, something we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, oh, we look forward to having those opportunities, and we'll set it up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses, free, of course, that are available, and dealing with the introduction to the Bible, the church you read about in the Bible, and the plan of salvation, correspondence courses dealing with those very important topics. And something else, we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, they're also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And let me give you our website address. It's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years, and also our bulletins with articles that are uplifting from God's Word, and then also information about our congregation. So let's get back to the study at hand from Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, as we're looking at questions of controversy. And our first question is one of authority. So we'll begin with verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? So actually there's two questions there, but both dealing with authority. Now notice verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all the men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And then he gave them a parable, as you go into chapter 12, concerning a vineyard. And we'll want to cover that in a moment. But let's notice here with the question of authority. Why did these chief priests and elders ask Jesus, "By what authority doest thou these things?" Well, if you notice previously what happened, Jesus had triumphantly entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He had just cleansed the temple and healed the lame and the blind the day before. Now he was teaching in the temple. Matthew 21, 1 through 16, verse 23, Mark 11, 1 through 18. And as you see here in verse 27, he was walking in the temple. So, let's note this. What had they already accepted, these religious leaders? They didn't accept John's baptism nor his record. As we see from John 1, verses 33 and 34, let's note, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now John was baptizing for the remission of sins. He was the forerunner to Christ, sent by God. You can see. Yes. And he was bearing record that Jesus was the Christ, because he saw the Holy Spirit descending on him as a dove. Now, he understood that the Messiah had come, and Jesus was the Messiah, God in the flesh. But note Luke 7:30. "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." They refused to be baptized for the remission of their sins. No, they rejected it. So since they had rejected John's counsel, you see now, what are they doing? They're rejecting Christ's authority. They had already rejected Moses' writing. If you'll notice John 5, 45 through 47, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Well, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18, you can notice. Let's focus in on verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, likened unto thee," that is Moses, "and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That would be Christ, would it not? Well, yes, it is. And thus they didn't accept Moses' writing. What about all the prophecies of Christ as they were being fulfilled by our Lord and Savior? And so they were being dishonest. They were religious leaders, yet they claimed not to know the answer. Now, would we purposely go to a doctor who did not know basic illnesses? I think not. So they had rejected John's baptism. Now they're being dishonest with the Lord. They should have answered from men, because they didn't believe it was from God, the baptism of John, obviously. But they feared the people. Well, have you ever known an honest, false teacher? Well, no, we have not, have we? Of course not. So, here is a question of authority to ask those in religious groups outside the body of Christ today. Those religious groups who were started by man, They're not the church you read about in the Bible. The true church, which began in Jerusalem in the first century, and we have the account in Acts chapter 2, as the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we know Peter and the other apostles spake in languages of all the people present. They preached Jesus as the Christ, proving that. And those that realized they had participated in crucifying Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told there in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, that's what took place there in Acts chapter 2. This is the true church you read about in the Bible, and how to become a child of God and be added by the Lord Himself to His spiritual body. Thus, it's the church of Christ, since He is the head of the church, it's His body, and He shed His precious blood to purchase the church. He's the foundation. Why wouldn't we use the term church of Christ to honor Him who died for the church? Well, here's a question to ask those outside the body of Christ. The baptism of the Great Commission, is it from God or men? We all should know the answer. Of course, when Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." That's Matthew 28:18-20. That's the Great Commission. And we know that Jesus is God in the flesh. Notice John 1:1-3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So the second person of the Godhead, the Word, became flesh. Well, notice verse 14 of John 1. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for us and to purchase His church, His body, the spiritual body that we need to be a part of. So, again, the baptism of the Great Commission, is it from God or men? And those that refuse to be baptized say it's not necessary. So they would need to answer, it's from men then, would they not? But the Bible says it's from God. Why do so many religious people refuse to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins? Well, I would say one of the main answers would be deception and, of course, ignorance, not knowing what the Bible says about how to be saved and about the true church and all the doctrinal matters that we need to understand. Well, it's sad, isn't it? Why not obey God and be forgiven of one's sins? As Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? What are you waiting on, Paul?" As we now call, of course, Saul, Paul. "Arise and be baptized, and what? Wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, submitting to His authority." Wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Baptism is for the remission of sins, forgiveness. That's where we contact the precious blood of Christ in that watery grave. So why would anyone refuse? Yes, it's sad, isn't it? Well, let's go on in our study and notice, even though these religious leaders, they were dishonest, refused to answer, Jesus speaks this parable of the vineyard to the chief priests and the elders, scribes, and, as we said, religious leaders who had misused their honored position, influence with the people. They had authority. But notice this parable as Jesus began to speak. A certain man, this is Mark 12, verse 1. A certain man planted a vineyard, set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husband a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him, sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head, sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard to others. Now notice, have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him. That is, these religious leaders now are seeking to lay hold on Jesus, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Notice that again. As they left Jesus, what did they do? They went their way. Not God's way, but man's way. You see the difference? Yes, that's the choice we have. There's only two possible sources for the authority of every religious act performed in the world. Either the religious act is divinely authorized or humanly authorized. That's right. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Name. What does that mean? In the name of the Lord Jesus, by his authority. Stop. In the name of the law. Well, they have authority. We should respect it. So many do not. But you see how Jesus put these religious leaders on the horns of a dilemma by asking a legitimate question. Was John's authority to baptize from heaven, that is, from God, or is it from men? Well, they wouldn't answer. So Jesus did not answer them. They wouldn't have accepted it. There was no point in Jesus answering them. That's the point. But this parable is getting to the crux of the matter. You see, the vineyard which had been planted belongs to God. It's the house of Israel. You'll find a similar parable in Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. You'll want to study that later. But the husbandmen were the leaders of Israel. As you see, Mark 12, 38 through 40, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uttermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. That's the leaders of Israel. And the owner sending His servants represents God. God the Father sending the prophets who were mistreated, sometimes killed. 1 Kings 19:10, for example. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah thought he was the only one left. He was not. There were a number that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God pointed it out to Elijah. 2 Chronicles 36:16, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. So we see the servants representing God's prophets. Then the son of the owner. We all know who this is, who was killed. It obviously is Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who would be slain by the Jews carrying him to the Roman authorities because they didn't have the power to do so themselves. Psalm 118, 22 through 23, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And of course, Isaiah 53, a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior. Notice verse 3 of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's right. What was their reaction to the parable, verse 12? Well, as we said, they left Jesus and went their way. But remember what Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there? If we want to go to heaven, there's only one. And we need to be honest, not dishonest like these religious leaders, as we're studying today. We need to submit to the authority of Christ. That's right. They did not recognize divine authority. They rejected God in the flesh, just as so many today reject the authority of Christ. Well, what about me? Bob Hawkins, am I submitting to the authority of Christ by following the New Testament pattern, having obeyed the gospel, and striving to live a Christian life, adding the Christian graces, recognizing that I need to worship God in accordance to the Scriptures, the New Testament pattern, that I need to recognize how we're to worship God? Yes, the five avenues, singing, praying, giving of our means, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and preaching. Those five avenues, not adding to or taking away. I need to understand the organization of the church, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the congregations are to be autonomous. And when men are qualified and the congregation can appoint more than one elder, of course there has to be a plurality that are following the qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And appointing deacons to serve under the eldership and offices, areas of the church work, the three areas of work of the church, edification, benevolence, and what? Evangelism. These are the works of the church we need to be involved in as a Christian. Yes. And we need to teach others about the true church of the Bible and not be ashamed that there's one church that the Lord established. He said, I will build my church. Did he not? Yes, he did. Matthew 16, you'll notice in verse 18. And we need to stay with the teachings of the New Testament and not get carried away with the winds of false doctrine. Now, we have studied how Jesus dealt with a question of authority. Do we respect and submit to the authority of Christ or make excuses? We must not be like the Jewish religious leaders who went away from Jesus because they preferred their own way. That's not going to end up well. If we choose that way, the broad way, has a wide gate, and many there be that go in thereat, but where does it go? To destruction, to the fires of hell for eternity. As in the parable, the owner blessed the husbandman. God blesses us in the church and expects us to produce fruit to his glory, does he not? Here's a question for us all to answer. If we're a member of the body of Christ, what would the church be like if every member were as I am? Well, let's be honest with ourselves. And now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the precious gospel of Christ to become a child of God and be added to the true church of the Bible. Yes, by hearing the truth. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated now to repent, make a change of wills, and do the will of God. We're going to get out of a sinful life and go in a new direction, committing ourselves to following Christ. Acts 17:30. Luke 13:3-5. Then we're ready to make the good confession. We're going to state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. We're not saved yet. But the next step, having confessed that Jesus is the Christ before others, now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins, as we pointed out in Acts 22:16. And then the Lord will add us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47. We thank you so much for listening today.